You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It is Friday, March the 14th of 2025. Currently, the temperature stands at 41 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. The rain has stopped, at least for now. And it is the Friday edition of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, online at also on the Civic Media app as well. Coming up, going to start things off this morning, actually, in just a moment. Chuck Schumer must go. Chuck Schumer must go. If he wants to be weak-kneed, no spine, do not be the leader of the Democratic Party during this era of American history. I got some thoughts on that because I am very upset about Chuck Schumer and his move yesterday, and also what he was trying to accomplish before that. And I think it's just as important to mention as well. So we are going to discuss that coming up. Also coming up at 8:21 in about 13 minutes' time, we'll be joined by Brittany Merlot. Again, heard some rumbles of thunder as we woke up this morning. We are getting set for potential weather that could be rather interesting over the weekend. We are going to see near record warmth. We're going to see snow. It's all going to be there here in the next couple of days. We'll get all the details with Brittany Merlot coming up. At the bottom of the hour, 8:34, we'll be joined by Civic Media and 98.9 WXCO sports reporter Mike Clements. Busy time. College basketball, both the Badgers and Marquette, involved in their respective conference tournaments. Both got good wins yesterday. Both are back in action later today. Bucks beat the Lakers last night, so we'll talk about that and a whole bunch more with Mike Clemens at the bottom of the hour. In the second hour, we'll be joined, as we are on Fridays, talk some Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklegg as well. And then, of course, we'll wrap things up in the final segment of the show at 8:51, I should say at 9:51, with our daily history lesson, talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history, talk about some of the celebrity birthdays, some of the special events being acknowledged today, and we'll wrap things up, I should say, with the number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh. So that's all coming up here this morning, again, from our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. And need to say hello, good morning, to our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Ready for the weekend?
Yes, I am. It's been a good week.
Good.
A long week, but it's been a good week.
That's what we like to hear. So, nope, that's good. And we'll get more from you in a few moments. But I need to start.
Absolutely.
Because when I got home last evening and saw what Chuck Schumer said and what Chuck Schumer is doing as the Democratic leader of the United States Senate at this point in our country's history, it just outraged me. Chuck Schumer. Okay, I want to talk about the last couple of days to begin with, because this is not just Chuck Schumer coming out and saying that he would support the continuing resolution that was pushed through by Mike Johnson and the Republican Party. There was no negotiations on this. The Republicans needed Democratic votes in order for this to avoid a filibuster. So there was leverage in this situation for the Democrats to get something out of this. And if Chuck Schumer was going to ultimately not allow the government to close come hell or high water, fine. I can understand that. I do not think that government shutdowns are a good thing. But right now, after what we have seen in the last 2 months, for him not to attempt to get anything out of it is dereliction of duty. But beyond what he said yesterday, I want to go back throughout this week. Because a couple of days ago, Schumer was attempting to pull off a sleight of hand that would make it look like he was going to be against the continuing resolution while at the same time allowing it to pass. He was basically trying to put the wool over the eyes of the American people and those of us who think that we need a Democratic Party right now that will stand up and attempt to push back on what we have seen in this new administration. But what Schumer was trying to do was to make a little deal to have votes on Democratic amendments that were certain to fail because the Democrats don't have the numbers. And that is a factor in all this. Right now, the Republicans have the White House. The Republicans have a very, very slight majority in the United States House of Representatives, and they have a majority in the United States Senate. So we understand math around here. We understand math when we do our number for the day quiz. So we understand the math that is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you roll over and do absolutely nothing. And what Schumer wanted to do was worse than nothing. He was trying to fool us. And that is inexcusable right now. In this era of Trump and his mistruths, we need people on the other side of the aisle that are willing to tell the truth and to fight for the truth. And Chuck Schumer has not done that, and that forfeits him a leadership role on the Democratic side in this very important era in our history. But what he was trying to do was to make this deal so that the Republicans would allow votes on Democratic amendments to this continuing resolution, knowing full well that the Republicans would not vote for those amendments because they have the numbers, so they would fail. But in exchange for these sham votes, Schumer would then relinquish the right to a filibuster and allow closure to happen so the vote would occur, and then the Republicans would be able to vote this House CR and then pass it on to Trump, who would sign it, and then we'd have the continuing resolution. And it would, and then in that final vote, Schumer would be able to fool the people by voting against it because he would know that the Republicans would have the vote, and he would be able to pretend that he was against it, basically lying to the people, lying just like Donald Trump does every single day, which makes Chuck Schumer no better. But then that little plan blew up in his face because he's not even good at it. So all of a sudden, he was not going to be able to pull off that little sleight of hand to allow these phony votes, basically, of amendments that had no chance of passing, and then have this phony vote to have it be whatever, 53-47, 52-48, whatever it would have ended up, where it appeared that all the Democrats voted against it while all the Republicans, except for Rand Paul of Kentucky, would vote for it. But his little plan blew up in his face. So in the end, yesterday, Chuck Schumer went up and spoke and said he was going to vote for the continuing resolution. And that he thinks, you know, he has to do what's best for America, which I do not disagree with. In terms of that theory, we have to have politicians that are willing to do what is best for America. But right now, in this era that we need a true opposition party. And the idea of Chuck Schumer putting through the CR, and this is not just a clean CR. This is a CR that has massive cuts in it. It has some horrible aspects towards the District of Columbia, but it's just up and down a Republican bill through and through. Chuck Schumer has said that he thinks this is a bad bill. It's a terrible bill, he says, but he's still voting for it. And he says, and he said that Donald Trump wants a government shutdown. No, Donald Trump wanted you to vote for this Republican bill. That's what he wanted. So he gets the best of all worlds. But right now, the Democratic Party needs to remove Chuck Schumer today as their leader. I want to know what Tammy Baldwin, the United States Senator on the Democratic side from Wisconsin, thinks. Because Tammy Baldwin has a voice in this. Do you agree, Senator Baldwin, with what Chuck Schumer did yesterday? And, you know, to wrap this up in this segment, and I'll have more later in the show. We're coming to the final couple of years of Mitch McConnell's term in the United States Senate. And while we have disagreed with Mitch McConnell over the years and hated what he did, he was never afraid to use any power that he had for his priorities. I mean, who would have thunk he would have got away with holding open a Supreme Court seat for more than a year? I mean, it's like, holy cow, you're never going to be able to get away with that. He got away with it. Who would have thought that for decades, the man that was attempting to make sure there were no limitations on the amount of money that rich people would be able to put into the system would ultimately win that fight? And now we have a system where the Elon Musk and the other billionaires of the world basically own the United States government. I tell you, you can hate what Mitch McConnell stood for, but at least he was not afraid to use the levers of power. Chuck Schumer had one lever to use in this situation, and he refused to use it, and he's giving Donald Trump a massive victory. So again, Democrats cannot just sit back and say, well, Donald Trump is going to alienate the American people, and then we're going to be able to come back into power in 2 years. Well, the United States government may be completely different and may be completely gutted by that point. And also, over the past decade, have you not learned that if the Democratic Party does not stand up, the people will continue to vote for charlatans like Donald Trump? So shame on Charles Schumer, and now time for the United States senators on the Democratic side to make a major change and stand up for the American people against this current administration. The time is 8:19. Coming up next, we will hear from Brittany Merlot on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I forgot before I vented my spleen in the last segment that we are also on YouTube.com. You can go to the 98.9 WXCO YouTube channel as well, be able to see the program right there. And also you can join us. You can either agree or disagree with what I had to say in the first segment, but we'd love to hear your voice as well. 715
382-9297. It's okay. It's the end of the week.
Yeah. 715-382-9297. You can call or text us at that very same number. And, of course, you can also use the Civic Media app as well. And, of course, we remind you, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, you can go to the App Store, search out Civic Media, and then you'll have at your fingertips every single one of the Civic Media radio stations throughout the state of Wisconsin. So, again, we'd love to hear your voice and love to have you be part of this show as well. Somebody we are always very happy to hear her voice and have her be part of the show is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. How are you doing?
I tell you, the rumbles of thunder got me going this morning here. It's like,
me too.
Bang, you know? But it was. I mean, you said, and I hope people appreciate that. You know what you're talking about. So often, I mean, sometimes you'll see weather forecasters and meteorologists who, you know, make their forecasting. They say, well, they said it was supposed to have thunderstorms. It's supposed to snow. It's supposed to rain, and it never happened. You were saying yesterday when we woke up this morning that probably be hearing some rumbles of thunder, and that's exactly what happened. I heard the rumbles of thunder, and I think that is the first rumbles of thunder we've had this spring.
It sure is. You know, it was pretty cool. A neighbor kid was outside, and I heard him screaming this morning, "Go thunder!" It was adorable. So we woke up a lot of people, but nothing major. It was just a little nice little washing of the streets, the salt leaving, a little spring feel, because we are absolutely going to be in spring weather today. I mean, we have got winds that are starting to gust now out of the south. They're going to be whipping up to 30 miles per hour, pulling in some warmth and humidity. And we're going to hit highs today in the low 70s. I think we might hit 73 degrees, actually, which... Wow.
Real quick, Brittany, because I know that he's out there listening, and he had just sent a few minutes ago, Rob from Tigerton sent some beautiful pictures of a full moon from last evening. Full moon near Tigerton.
The blood moon?
I don't know if it's... Well,
it must be because we had a total lunar eclipse last night.
Yeah, because...
So I'm wondering if it's got that red hue or not.
Does.
I've been seeing some pictures come in with the red hues.
So, yeah, Rob sent these pictures, and it was, last evening, very nice before some of this weather moved in. But we're going to get a little break, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we are. So it's a crazy week. Let's just put it that way. So today, this afternoon, it's just going to be windy, warm, a little sticky, feeling like spring. It's not a bad day today, but it's going to turn not so fun later on this evening. Probably around 11 o'clock or so is when this line of strong storms is going to move through. Well, it's actually really, really bad down into Illinois. This line moving into Illinois is probably going to produce a tornado outbreak. And then as that swings into the southern parts of our state late tonight, around 9 or 10, they could still be strong to severe. There still could be rotation. We're going to see winds gusting up to 60, 70 miles per hour in that line, and then also some hail, too. But the good news is it lifts north and into central Wisconsin. It's going to weaken even more. So really some high winds and some hail and, about a quarter of an inch to a half an inch of rainfall is expected here for us. Some of them could get severe warned. I just don't think we have all the ingredients for a wild, wild night, but it'll be loud. We'll definitely hear the thunder out there, and it'll be feeling like spring. And then behind it, it just starts to get so windy tomorrow. We're going to see gusts around 40, potentially 50 miles per hour. High wind warnings might be out across the state, and temperatures are going to be crashing throughout the day. So our highs will hit 53 degrees early, fall throughout tomorrow. Light rain is possible on and off throughout the day. But then by the evening and into the overnight, that flips to some light snow because our temperatures are falling below freezing Saturday night into Sunday. And then Sunday, we actually have our average high temperatures of the upper 30s, which is going to feel quite cold compared to what today is going to feel like. So Sunday will be crisp and cool. Then we warm up and the sun comes back out. Monday and Tuesday will be in the low to mid 50s. And not going to lie, we're looking at a pretty big snowstorm that could be hitting on Wednesday, where a foot or so is
really well. We always get one of those this time of year. It's just the way it is.
We do. It looks like next week.
Yeah, mid to late March, sometimes even in April. I mean, well, that is something to not look forward to next week.
I know. PTO on Wednesday. There you go.
All right, Brittany. Well, what are the details for, again, as you say, a very interesting weekend forecast?
Absolutely. Partly sunny today, windy and warm. Highs will reach the low 70s. We've got strong storms to maybe severe moving in tonight around 11. Those should be gone by 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We are looking at hail, high winds, heavy rain as well. Also, a fire danger today. Be careful burning. Don't toss your cigarette butt. It's too windy. It's too dry before this rain comes. Tomorrow will be very, very windy, falling temperatures, light rain, flipping to snow as we move into Sunday. Sunday's high is much cooler, highs in the upper 30s, and then we go right to some mild warmth once again next week.
All righty. Well, you're going to be keeping busy, aren't you?
Yep, sure am.
Well, try to still have a great weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday, St. Patty's Day.
Oh, bye, yes. Brittany. Luck of the Irish. Bye,
there
guys.
You go. Mm-hmm. Brittany Merlot joins us every weekday morning at 8:21 here on the program. Right now in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, mostly cloudy skies, 41 degrees. Winds are out of the east at 10 miles per hour, so the wind chill is 35. Dew point of 33, relative humidity of 73%, the barometer at 29.57 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. Coming up, an information update. And then after that, we'll be talking to our sports reporter from Civic Media, Mike Clements. That's straight ahead. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Mentioned yesterday that this is kind of an odd end of the week, or yesterday and even today, if you're somebody that is a sports fan, whether it's at the college level and even the high school level with state tournament action going on, that it almost feels like holidays, like a weekend where you have activity that if you're at work, you can peek on and see what's going on. Yesterday, in fact, middle of the afternoon, both Marquette and Wisconsin on the court in college basketball. But that's why it is March, and why it's March Madness. And to talk all about what's going on in a very busy sports weekend, we are joined by our 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media sports reporter, Mike Clements. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? A little tired this morning. After the Bucks game, I stayed up and watched the lunar eclipse, moon thing. It was pretty spectacular.
It was. We got some pictures sent in to us here this morning, and it was really, really terrific. And man of many, many tastes, Mike Clements. And as I said yesterday, it was like weird because it was a Thursday. It was not a holiday. And yet we had the Marquette Golden Eagles and the Wisconsin Badgers tipping off at about 1:30 yesterday. We had some high school state tournament action for the girls. It's like a weekend.
Any girls teams from the Bulls Falls radio area that are at the state tournament?
Unfortunately, nope. None of our teams made it. So that because I for many years we had a team that would make it, and so I'd be able to get over there and make it a little bit of a busman's holiday. But unfortunately, I'm stuck here in the studio this weekend.
So it's the Badgers at the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis, and yesterday they take on Northwestern, and they handle it. They get the win, 70-63. Although Northwestern had a nice little run there later on, but yeah, Badgers are now 24-8, and they're going to take on UCLA this afternoon at about 1:30. This is a team that they lost earlier this season when they're out in LA. UCLA is the fourth seed, the Badgers the fifth seed in the Big Ten tournament. But I think the mistake that Northwestern made is they you know, they fouled a team that's the best shooters from the foul line from the Badgers. They were 18 of 23, so that helped them put it over the top. And Nolan Winter and John Tanjay, you know, Nolan under the bucket, and Tanjay with a couple of nice slam dunks and shots from outside, each had the 18 points. And Max Klesman came back from that ankle injury. By the way, now, if these guys are going to start getting paid in universities, do we have to put up with the lower leg distinction as opposed to just tell us if it's a knee or an ankle or something?
There's a lot more hiding of the facts the higher the dollar amounts get, right?
I guess, yeah. I'm not interested in that. But, you know, they... Whatever. The Badgers will advance today to take on UCLA. So that's what's going on at the Big Ten tournament.
Real interesting, Mike. I was looking at the bracket this morning, and I mean, for a conference that has 18 teams in it, no upsets in terms of where we are now, in terms of the final eight, 1 through 8. I mean, does that mean basically that it is a top-heavy conference, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great observation. I hadn't realized that after yesterday's things. I guess I was so much focused on that and then seeing what was going on with Marquette. But, you know, they've even talked about whether they would eliminate some of these conference championships. And then when you talk to some of the officials at the schools, they're like, do you realize how much money we get out of this? And it's like, okay, yeah, it's not going to go away anytime soon.
And what about Marquette? I mean, they were even Shaka Smart. I heard the clip that you had in our sports report said they were basically dead in the water, down by 14 in the second half. A team that had struggled. They'd lost to St. John's again last Saturday, down to 25th in the country. You see that seeding. I mean, I'm thinking, man, they may be in the 8-9 game the way it's been going. But that they got off the canvas at MSG, and I thought a huge win yesterday.
Yeah, it's interesting how the two programs, I mean, the Badgers, when they started out last fall, no one even thought they would make the top 25, and here they got as high as, was it 8th in the nation? Now they're down to about 12th after, like, a loss to Penn State, which was sort of inexplicable. And as for Marquette, they were as high as 7th. They've now dropped to 25th with some of the losses they've had. And it wasn't necessarily injury, too. They just sort of got out of sync. But, you know, it's all about getting hot at the right time. And so they get this win yesterday over Xavier. And Xavier had a 14-point lead. Marquette comes on, you know, at the right time. Stevie Mitchell, sort of a sixth man that, you know, it's one of those kids that Shaka Smart brought in. He's always given him the best effort. And you saw that Smart even got kind of emotional in the post-game interview. I think it was on the Peacock Network, talking about this kid. He came up with about 14, 16 points or so, and they got the win. Cam Jones came up with 28 points to lead. Xavier now, a team that had won like their last 7 in a row, they're on the bubble.
Yep.
They're not. They're going to get into the tournament, you know, when the Selection Sunday comes up. So Marquette gets that one. Now tonight, yeah, they take on St. John's, which is like ranked 6th in the nation from the New York area, at Madison Square Garden this evening, 5:30 or thereabouts should be the tip-off. And this is a team that they, you know, just lost to, and so that'll be a tough out for Marquette this afternoon. We'll see if they can pull it off.
Actually, I'm very interested in this game because the first time they played at MSG was a 6-point game, and then of course last Saturday you said it, they lost in overtime. I don't know why, but I think that second half is going to spark them. And maybe we've seen Marquette, usually in the conference tournament, Marquette is one of two ways. They lose their first game or they make a pretty deep run. It never seems to be somewhere in the middle. I think for Marquette, there's a lot to gain in terms of seeding in the next couple of days. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and what, as I watch these games, it's just, you know, it seems as if, as Cam Jones goes, so goes that team. And if he has an off night, they don't seem to be able to recover from that. And so, you know, that might make the difference in tonight's game if, you know, if he can have another good night tonight against St. John's, don't you think?
I agree 100%. And again, man, when he is not on, that it's a very, very average team. I mean, that's the bottom line. It really is the case. Bucks, good bounce back. I tell you, that game against Indiana the other night. I mean, man, oh, man. I mean, to lose on a 4-point play in the final moments and in a big game, obviously, in terms of postseason seeding. But last night, obviously, the LeBron-less L.A. Lakers were not a match, but still, the Bucks did a nice job in winning by 20, and now a rather significant weekend coming up as well.
Yeah, the Bucks were playing the Pacers in Indianapolis. It looked like they were going to pull out this win, and then Tyrese Halliburton from Oshkosh North High School, comes up with this crazy 3-point shot with about 3 seconds left, and draws a phantom foul from Giannis, so makes it a 4-point play, and they end up winning 115-114. And this is a team that, you know, the Bucks and the Pacers are sort of neck and neck in the Eastern Conference at fourth and fifth. Probably a team, I mean, if the playoffs started now, this would be the team that the Bucks would have to face again like they did last year. So there's a little bit of a rivalry going on with them. Last night, the Bucks bring in the Lakers. And Luka, who came over with a big trade with the Mavericks, had 45 points, but no LeBron, who's nursing a left groin injury. He went back to L.A. to take care of that. He should be back in a game or two. He's making progress. But the Bucks jumped out and ended up winning last night by 20 points, 126-106, with this new patch that they've got on, honoring Junior Bridgman, who passed away suddenly on Tuesday.
I'm glad you brought up Junior, because when I was growing up, my favorite sports team, I mean, I love the Packers as well, but the early 80 Bucks were so much fun to watch. They won 60 games one year. They were always in the upper 50s. They always won the division. But in that era, they would always run into Larry and the Celtics and Dr. J and the Sixers. They might beat one, but then they would lose to the other. I mean, it was a great team that never got to the NBA Finals and never able to, I think, you know, explode onto the national psyche. But Junior Bridgman was a great sixth man, and he was a guy that would come off the bench and be double-digit scorers. And then you hear the story of what he was after his NBA career. I mean, I thought this guy is the epitome of what the American dream is, a man that couldn't afford to have have his family pay $1.25 for a Boy Scouts entry when he was a kid. They were so poor, and to become the most successful former athlete, I think, in history, and then to join the Bucks just last fall, I mean, about 6 months ago. It's a tragic loss for the Bucks right now, but it's also just a tragic loss for humanity, because this guy did everything the right way, didn't he?
Yeah, Junior Bridgman goes to East Chicago High School in Indiana, takes his team to win the state class of 71, plays at Louisville for 3 years, gets drafted by the Lakers, and 3 weeks later, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted out of Milwaukee, so he goes to Milwaukee in the trade for Kareem between the Lakers and the Bucks. And you're right, it was a fun era. They had moved on from Larry Costello, and he played alongside, you know, Sidney Moncrief and Marcus Johnson and Big Bob Lanier and Quinn Buckner. And then here would come Junior off the bench as a sixth man and be one of the best under Don Nelson, Nelly, as the head coach. Those are fun years. And then I just got into the business about 20 years old working graphics at TV 18 in Milwaukee, which was the flagship, so I used to get to cover those guys and be there in the locker room for, you know, pre-game interviews and post-game and whatnot. And so then, before Herb Cole, Jim Fitzgerald owned the team. He was a pretty good guy, too. And so last fall, we were talking to Junior when he became a 10% owner of the Bucks. And, you know, talked about how does he go from $300,000 a year as an NBA player to $1.4 billion, according to Forbes. And he said, Jim Fitzgerald had a lunch with him and said, you know, it's not how much money you make, it's what you do with your money. That you get some money and you invest it. And then you know everything about that investment. And when you have some success there, then you reinvest or you get loans. And like a snowball, you have it's a gradual thing, but you have to keep at it. So he buys a Wendy's, and he's working 18-hour shifts. He's a former NBA player, learning the business, you know, from top to bottom. And he ends up owning 100 Wendy's, Chili's restaurants, Blaze Pizza. My kids have gone to that. Got into Coca-Cola bottling to the point where, you know, he starts the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville. He helped to fund schools for kids, and he's speaking at the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts function at Louisville the other day, like you mentioned, because of that, you know, he couldn't afford that $1.25. When he tells a reporter, "I think I'm having a heart attack," they rush him to the hospital, but they couldn't save him. He's 71 years old, and people are just heartbroken in Louisville and in Milwaukee because he was such a quiet, class guy. He sponsored the sports talk show that I was on because he believed in that kind of radio down in Milwaukee. He would come with a bag of Wendy's to the studio and deliver it and just, "Hey, guys, how you doing here? Lunch on me. Tell me what you think." Yeah, that the class guy, that was a shocker for the Bucks organization. He just come on as an owner.
Yeah, and I felt so much better about the Bucks because, to be honest with you, Jimmy Haslam worries me a little bit. But knowing that Junior Bridgman's voice was going to be in the room, even as a minority owner, 10%.
Perfect fit.
I know. Fit. Well, Mike, again, appreciate it. I tell you, this is March Madness, isn't it?
It's the warm-up, no question about it.
Hey, Mike, have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you, Chad.
Mike Clemens, our 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media Sports Reporter, joins us on Friday mornings. The time is 8:48. Again, a little bit of sunshine now poking through. The roads are still wet after the early morning rain, but it's going to be a lot of weather, different weather coming up in the next few days. We'll keep you updated on that, but we'll take a timeout. Be right back. More to come. We are in downtown Wausau, at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Friday morning, heading towards the weekend. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, the time is 8:52. Again, a little bit of sunshine poking through. Temperature is into the 40s. We expect to get into the 70s coming up. If you logged on to the Wausau Pilots and Review this morning, an interesting note from the publisher, Shireen Seward.
What did they say?
Well, Shireen, it says, a note from the publisher. Why? I'm taking a short break after 8 years without one. And when she says short break, basically taking the weekend off, because she says in the 8 years that she has been running the Wausau Pilots and Review, has not taken a day off.
No holidays, nothing?
Just, you know, always has to be on top of it in terms of, I mean, she's gone away, I know that, but you obviously can have a computer, but you, in a sense where you're always connected to it, whether it's your phone, whether it's checking up on a story. I mean, you can be away and yet not be away. And I think that anybody that works in the media realizes that, that everybody is always connected in terms of, hey, there's always, you got to make sure. I mean, even myself, because I will, every night before I go to bed, I turn on my radio just to make sure we're still on the air, because if we're off the air, that's up to me to make sure that we get, if there's an issue technologically, to find out, get the right people involved in it. So, I mean, again, it's sort of along that line where you have to kind of stay on top of everything, especially if you're the publisher of an online newspaper. And she talks about how she and her husband really are just exhausted. I mean, it's been a long grind. And one reason, she says, and I wanted to bring this up in the article that she put out, a big part of that exhaustion comes from the daily barrage of cruelty that has become a routine part of our work. She says, look, we're journalists. We have thick skin. We expect criticism, even welcome it when it's fair. But the vitriol, the name-calling, the insults, the outright harassment, that's different. And after years of enduring it, I can say with certainty, it wears you down. The vulgar personal threats I received would make most people rethink their career choices. At the very least, they make me question my own safety when anonymous readers threaten me with physical harm because of something I've written. And she goes, one especially kind reader, sarcasm, obviously, threatened me with sexual assault. He thought it would teach me a lesson. I shouldn't have to say this, but here we are. This kind of harassment is not okay. And she says, if you haven't already, take a look at the comments on our Facebook page. The sheer nastiness might and should shock you. People don't just direct their venom at us. They attack each other with abandon, often without a shred of basic human decency. And she says that's not just a WASA thing. It's happening virtually to every local newsroom across the country. But after 8 years of absorbing this toxicity, it's become a soul-crushing exercise in endurance. It has taken an enormous toll on my physical and emotional well-being. And then there is a really good part that people need to think about. Somewhere along the line, it seems we've forgotten there are actual people behind the stories you read. Would you speak to your mother this way, she writes, your child, your sister, your friend? Why has this kind of behavior become so acceptable? I'm going to share something here because
she makes an excellent point.
The last few weeks, about 3 weeks ago, there was a three-day span where somebody decided they really don't like me.
Oh, no.
And it just, using fake email accounts, fake names, sent over and over again. One day during the show, for the 2 hours of the show, every 2.5 minutes they sent a message. They're listening because they were talking about what I would say and then twisted in a very disturbing way. Basically, at one point said I should go off and kill myself. I mean, it was, and then a few things that were even less nice than that. And again, Shireen says we got thick skin. I think Shireen's skin's a little thicker than mine is, because that kind of stuff kind of bothers me. But at the same time, the folks in Madison were able to kind of block that person, whoever it was, that for three straight days decided they were going to try to get under my skin. But, you know, you look at what Shireen's talking about. It's so easy with online, and we see it. I mean, we see a tragedy in the last week where a child kills themselves because of somebody reaches out online. It's a different situation there, but along the same line, people can be so mean and crossing so many lines, and it goes back, and I think she hit it perfectly. Would you speak to your mother this way, your child, your sister, your friend? Would you speak to somebody you don't like this way face-to-face? I actually would add, because I think that
seriously,
the anonymity of online comments makes it easier to cross lines that us as humans would not normally cross. I think that even the people that you dislike, you aren't going to come up to them and usually say something along those lines. So I would encourage you to go to wasapilotandreview.com this morning. Shireen Seward put up this article that I think needs to be read.
This is why I don't even read the comments on Facebook anymore. I'm just afraid of what they're going to say. That's why I try not to read the comments on YouTube anymore.
Whoever invented the comment section online was not doing us a favor.
They actually have a comments, a turn off.
That's
you can have on YouTube now.
That is a good idea.
On my videos, because I don't want to and deal with all those people.
I know it. Time is 8:58. Information update coming up. We'll have Paul Micklegg join us in hour number two. We'll have our daily history lesson and wrap up with a smile with our number for the day quiz. That's all right. Coming up here on WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.